Mini episode 1700 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the FDH Lounge 17th anniversary celebration. This is FDH managing partner Rick Morris here. An original FDH Lounge dignitary. We have another original with us here in the house. I'll get to that with the introductions. We're going to be previewing the year 2024 in a couple of different areas, entertainment, sports, and news. It seems like this is more of a tipping point kind of a year in a lot of ways coming into it than it generally is. We have the panel that we've had the last couple of years, with the exception of last year, for going through our anniversary segments and breaking things down. And to get to, again, why we didn't do this last year at this time, we'll touch on that, and we'll do that in the course of the introductions. So I'm going to start with here, a gentleman. We talked about this on the show. We have two original FDH Lounge dignitaries here today, but when I talk about people who were dignitaries before there were dignitaries, before there was a show, this show is an outgrowth of the original Reality Check back at sportstalknetwork.com. And in 2003, my good friend Ron Glasnap reached out to me and also reached out to another longtime mutual friend, Dave Adams, to be a part of this. And we went for about two strong years at the Sports Talk Network and had a great time. And it was a show that in a lot of ways kind of paved the kind of vibe for what this show is here today. And so Ron is with us here today, and again, when I talked about this earlier, the fact that we did not do this show a year ago, it was on the heels of the passing of our great friend Dave Adams, for whom these segments are dedicated today. So I want to have an introduction here of Ron. Ron, thank you so much for being a part of the show here today, and also for getting me back into this in 2003. You are to blame for bringing me off the sidelines and getting me back into broadcasting, my friend.
That's why I don't make my address public, because people will blame me for this and send me hate mail.
That's right. It is a heavy burden that you carry.
I blame you, Ron.
Absolutely. It's a heavy burden, but you bear it well.
It keeps him out of other people's business, though.
That's right. Well, not completely out of everyone else's business, but we may touch on that obliquely as we go along here. And from there, I want to bring in a good friend and longtime FDH Lounge dignitary, John Adams, who also was a part of the show back at the Sports Talk Network days. At that time, mostly with FantasyDraftHelp.com and the FantasyDraftHelp.com Insider, primarily as a part of our niche sports drafts, tennis and golf, which we have ongoing to this day. And as we are taping this, Johnny and I are both paying some attention to the season opener for the PGA in Hawaii. And
golf.
This is what I get for going live heavy.
Absolutely.
I don't have anybody up there, but Johnny, great to have you in here for us today.
Yeah, pleasure to be here. Really appreciate the kind words around Dave, and you know, that's we're just kind of living on in his walking in his path. So really appreciate it. Of course, yes, I was glued to the TV looking at my rankings and who I have, and I was with a fellow competitor, the Bobby J, yesterday, and of course, he was really obsessed, would be a good word, with who is where.
Anyway, yeah. Well, that's how Bobby J is, of course, and that we just have to acknowledge that as we go along. And again, this is definitely a segment very much, or segments that we are doing today for the 17th anniversary show, very much in the spirit of Dave. I had gone back through and looked. These need to be the next Sports Talk Network segments that I upload to our channels here. That Dave was actually part of our 2009 one. I don't think any of you guys were in on that, but it was the last time that Dave was up at the station. Not long before it was the last time any of us would be at the station subsequently, as that thing ended up hitting the iceberg subsequently. But in terms of how that went, it was great to have Dave as a part of that show. And I remember that, I don't remember which, we were doing a Pantheon thing. And it might have been the greatest use of music in a movie or something like that. And Dave pushed through successfully the thing from the Hangover movie, the air drum solo to In the Air Tonight. So that was...
Doesn't well everyone do well that?
I mean, you got to stop and do that every time.
Yes, yes. And, thanks to Dave, we have that enshrined as one of our winners in the Pantheon. And these segments are all Pantheon adjacent, I would say, as far as how they go through the panels and everything like that. And somebody who is, I would say, one of the guardians of the integrity of the Pantheon, also a futurist, the chief futurist in the FDH Lounge, and my good friend and fellow original dignitary, Chris Galloway.
Woo, Chris!
That, outside of... Yeah, outside of Johnny, and then just narrowly ahead of Ronnie, the guy that I've known the longest here, going back to the OU days. So, Chris, always great to have you in on this, my friend.
Help, I don't know these people. I was having breakfast in Menor, and they threw a hood over my head, and here I am
say,
now.
Come here.
With your Ohio University hoodie.
I don't know where I am. Please send help.
With your Ohio University hoodie.
Yes.
Help me.
Brown noser, Ohio University.
Chris is morally reenacting one of the opening scenes of Old School here as we come through, which is one of the great scenes in any movie, by the way, as they're going through abducting people. And speaking of abducting people, that brings me to a couple of brothers who no doubt are expert at that. How's that for a segue?
Dude, I've never abducted anybody.
Anthony and Matt Patrone from the Unheard Scene podcast. That was, of course, a show back at the Sports Talk Network that, again, they used to come on the lounge, and I used to go on their show occasionally. And then in 2008, the greatest culmination between two shows, the greatest crossover, dare I say, there will ever be, the Fantasy Rock Band Draft, of which I finished
that was
in second
fun.
Place, by the way.
I lost.
It was, yeah, it didn't go so well for you, Matthew, unfortunately. Thanks to the biased judging, no doubt, right?
Okay. Biased judging.
Yeah.
Well,
listen, I hired the judges and I still didn't win.
There was the one fault that I didn't come in completely last because of the ruling was
yes.
You could use the...
That's right. We had a
we had a disqualification.
Yes, and that saved you from the cellar. And Matt didn't take it lying down, though. I understand that at the time, Matt was trying to line up like a slate of fake electors and trying to do everything he could to overturn the judging here in the comments.
Wow!
I tried.
Yeah, I mean...
exactly.
Listen, I'm the one who took the judge's boss.
Yes.
First.
That's true, yes. And... yeah, Matt was trying everything that he could to overturn this. Fittingly enough, as we're recording this on a January 6th, by the way, so everything ties together in the FDH Lounge. But we'll get to news segments basically later on here. But as far as the segment number one that we're going to have here, and as 2023 turns into 2024, looking ahead, we're going to start with entertainment, and there's a couple of ways, and we're just basically going to take this whatever way everybody wants to go as far as the things that are deemed to be noteworthy here. So, obviously, AI is something that is getting to be very big in entertainment. Got to be, 2023 was really the breakthrough year, and you have the film actors strike that went on that did not end up getting rid of AI. It's one of those things where the actors can't be used without their consent. But as I have in our show notes here, somewhat kind of cheekily, can we look forward to James Dean, biggest movie star of the 2030s? You never know, because they now have the rights to do that, and all you got to do is get a hold of whoever the heirs are to any of these dead actors or actresses. And so That continues to move ahead in entertainment. Taylor Swift, are we completely sick of her yet?
Yes.
She basically.
Yes.
Bigger than the NFL, though. Bigger, I mean, what's bigger than the NFL? But Taylor Swift proved that she is. And it's one of these things where I understand it was being entertained possibly for her to play at the Super Bowl. But that's one of those things where that would have completely this is how much bigger she is than the NFL. It would have distorted the entire thing. All the fans out there would have treated it like a Taylor Swift concert and basically bid the tickets up and probably just showed up late in the second quarter and left early in the third.
You got to see Tay-Tay.
Yeah. Well, so,
you know, if they do that, you know, Travis Kelce won't be there.
Yeah, well, he may not be playing in it anyways, which we'll get to in the sports thing as he's dealing with that. Speaking of which, again, a lot of big concert tours in 2024. Taylor's never-ending tour goes on. There's a lot more in the music biz. Big merger potentially coming here, Warner Brothers Discovery and Paramount CBS. So could be the NBA back on CBS if that happens. They got to dig out the old theme. I certainly hope so if that happens. So a lot of different ways to go as far as talking about this, and just start with whoever wants to take it first here on entertainment as we move from 2023 to 2024.
What we need to talk about is Mick Mars's album.
Okay. I knew this was coming. Yes. Anthony, is it the great Motley Crue album that never was?
If anybody knows how to troll Ricky, it's me.
Except that you already did. I don't know if it counts as trolling if you already registered it in a segment previous.
So... No. This is Mick Mars.
Okay.
So Mick Mars found a nobody singer.
Okay.
Made an album.
Okay.
Now all right, the
that's
album.
That's all I got.
The album is it's a lot heavier than Motley Crue ever did, and it's something that I wouldn't have ever expected Mick Mars to do.
Okay.
And from what I'm hearing from it, it is very good. It's just something that took Mick Mars a lot of years to do.
Okay. Well, I don't know that anybody in our audience out there would have had that on their 2024 bingo card that we'd be talking about Mick Mars' new album. But
nobody else spoke up. Okay. There's like three guys here and nobody said a word.
Yeah, well, you got to get it in there. all right, so Mick Mars registers among the top topics for you guys going into this year. Anything else? What are you guys looking at, generally speaking, as we move into this year?
You mentioned a never-ending Taylor Swift tour.
Yeah.
Why in the world would she end it?
Yeah.
She's a billionaire now.
True.
Keep going.
You're getting hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of dollars to fill 60, 70,000 seat stadiums. I don't know why she'd ever stop.
Two, three nights a week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For her, good.
And she's not on a she's not on a crappy tour bus, you know, having to pull over at the... at the diner to hit the bathrooms or whatever. I mean, you know, that's a great... If we haven't found anything else in 2024 or as we go further, money is not in album sales anymore. It's in downloads and in concerts.
Yep,
you're right.
And even the downloads, you can copy and whatever, so that part doesn't matter. The only place you're going to make them is concerts. That's why it's $150 for a ticket now. As opposed to
$39. That's why Motley Crue came back out. That's why Def Leppard came back out.
You know, go look at the bigger names that are coming out. I know I already have tickets for the Sammy Hagar concert coming.
I'm going to that, dude. Everybody.
I'll see you there.
Which is basically Van Halen post David Lee Roth.
Yeah.
But it also helps 60 and 70-year-olds fill their 401k.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that Sammy invited David Lee Roth to be there?
He has to. Because if he doesn't, then he's a jerk.
Right.
Did you hear the response?
David Lee Roth said he'd like to do the whole tour.
Okay, well then, bye, Dave.
Sammy said, we're not going to do the whole tour. You can come for one or two shows.
Yeah.
When is that show? It got weird.
Yeah, with Blossom.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's the way the concerts that you're seeing now, a lot of them are the vintage things. And I hate this that we're all older and have to go see vintage things or classics or whatever.
I don't hate that, Ron.
But
I don't hate
that. You know, that's what you're going to end up paying for because that's how they
fill
their coffers.
There's so many coming out right now.
I mean, the Chili Peppers are coming.
Rolling Stones, the Chili Peppers, they're all Sammy Hagar. They're all, there's so many. How can I afford to go see all of them?
That's the thing. You can't.
Right.
And this is one of those things where, by the way, going back to when Chris and I were at the Harvard on the Hocking, back when I used to rock a, I had a Stones Tour t-shirt. I wasn't actually at the tour, but I got it at the, got it at the store.
He bought it secondary.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And it had a big, colorful tongue, multicolored tongue on it. And I remember being at the school newspaper here, a rival of mine who was a preppy from Shaker Heights sees me walking in the one day. He's like, oh, Morris is wearing his Parma polo. So that is something I remember. But I could not have
memories.
I could not have imagined at that time that we'd be sitting here like, hey, you know, the Rolling Stones are going to be touring in 2024.
And Keith Richards is still alive.
Right.
Keith
Richards is still alive. How does he stand on stage?
Yeah. Exactly. They're all like 80 years old. Well, the ones that are left, they get right. I mean, they replace some of the ancillary parts around Mick and Keith. Basically, as long as it's Mick and Keith, they can still call it that, which it's one of those things where, again, some of these groups, I think, take it a little bit too far. Like the Eagles, like would I still go see them? Yeah, but without Glenn, it's like, can you really call it the Eagles?
Okay.
Well, they were really good. Okay. When I saw them about 2-3 months ago, they were still really good and had Vince Gill in there and you had everybody doing solo numbers. You had them all doing the group numbers. I think, you know, I'm not the biggest Eagles fan, but I bet there was one song out of the 25 they did that I didn't know. And that's rare in a concert anymore.
You're a Philadelphia Eagles fan.
You now have an era where you have no original members of Lynyrd Skynyrd left.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
They're still touring.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like they bought the franchise name.
There was
it's
talk the brother, for though. A lot of years about you know, one of my favorite bands, Kiss, about whether or not Paul's kid and Gene's kid would take over, like treating it like a franchise, and the two sons revise their father's roles and just keep going.
Right.
A lot of us wondered and expected that. You know, I went to the last concert and Paul's kid's brand new band opened up for them, and really, really, really good. I was pleasantly surprised.
That's cool.
I'll check that out. So I, you know, there was a lot of talk about like what would be the future beat, and then after the tour ended, what they rolled out was Avatar Kiss coming in 2026.
Because they can't.
Avatar.
Well, but here's the, and this is the great debate that's going on, at least within that band, which is anybody going to go see Avatar Kiss? Does anybody really care enough to go see Avatar?
So wouldn't they just call it Avatar instead
of Avatar Kiss? So maybe
Kiss?
You won't, but there are people that will.
I'm sure there are. But so I say all of this, whether it's Skynyrd, Kiss, whatever, which is, I think the real interesting topic going forward is when all these bands that we're all talking about and now is classic and old are gone, what is the future of these concert scenes look like, right? Because other than Taylor Swift with her massive tour, you know, these are the top tours are all these old folks, the Stones, Kiss, Def Leppard. Face it, they're all old. They're in the 70s.
They're gone.
It's changing. They're the one, Madonna, they're the ones holding down these big tour numbers. And when they're gone and we're older and not doing it, what does that entertainment space look like? You know, because a lot of these kids now, they're into like the DJ. Yeah. What's that, Marshmallow Head? And these different,
there's
you know,
a lot
you
of
you go to Vegas, the billboards aren't mostly DJs.
Right.
Famous DJs that I've never heard of.
No,
right?
They just want concerts.
And so is that the future of stadium tours? Are we looking at, is Kiss onto something with avatars? You know, and that comes back to what is the younger generation appeal to them, not us.
Well, let me ask you here. I
want to
draw
do
you out
even
on
go out
that.
To concerts.
I
locally.
Do too.
The
they do. They
yeah,
do. They're
the
just
question.
Different.
Yeah. The Avatar thing. Are we talking along the lines of like I remember a couple of years ago Coachella with the Tupac hologram? Is that essentially like what we're talking about here with the avatars?
No, it's a little different about that. People have suggested that maybe they ought to do holograms, but
okay,
it's just on a big screen, like no. You know, like watching a movie.
Okay, so that's different than I was going to call you out on. I was going to actually agree with him because there's a tour coming up, Styx and whoever they're worth with, and I said to the
Styx
one...
Styx and Foreigner.
No, yeah.
I think
it's Styx and Foreigner, and then Ryan something, right?
John Waite.
I says to one of the guys I work with, I says, So who's all going to be original members of this band? Three of them out of three bands.
Well,
I mean,
and that's the thing.
These
there's
bands,
no original members.
They're not there anymore. Yeah. The original members aren't there anymore. Okay, John Waite. Well, he's gonna be there because he's gotta be.
Yeah.
Okay, in Foreigner, you got the guitarist.
Nobody else.
Nobody else. They're all. It's a cover band.
Right.
And so when does it come to the point where you're paying to see a cover band named Foreigner, or you're paying a cover band to see Kiss, or
we're all doing this to varying degrees already. Anybody that goes to see Springsteen and the E Street Band, you're not getting Clarence Clemons anymore. So, I mean, we're all, to whatever degree.
Well, whoever told Springsteen he could sing was a liar.
Oh, so shots fired from that. I'm a fan of at least his older stuff anyway.
None of it.
Wow. Okay. All right. Shots fired. But I got something again, and I want to pose this to Chris, because in terms of, you know, Chris's background and day job and everything like that, I think he might be poised to kind of give us an answer on this a little bit, at least from his perspective. But some of the stuff that we're hearing, and we'll talk a little bit later on when we do a news segment here about these things with the economy and this whole kind of fog and confusion that we've had and seeing ahead for the last 2 years plus, that over the course of the last year, the fact that we didn't have a recession when a lot of people thought we were going to some degree, it seems like AI has helped forestall that a little bit in terms of some of the tech stocks and how strong they've been, NVIDIA and some of that. But I've also seen people saying, because in terms of consumer spending and everything, right? I'm seeing in some quarters, and this strikes me as overblown, but Taylor Swift has helped keep us from having a recession because people are spending ungodly sums of money on her thing, and allegedly it pumps it back into the global economies as she's going different places. So, I mean, can that actually be a thing that on her scale, yeah, even though it's, again, it's far and above, again, potentially anybody since Elvis or maybe Michael Jackson circa 84 or whatever, but like, is it possible that one entity can affect the economy to that degree?
I think it is, because it's more than just her. It's a following. I don't want to say cult, but it's a following. She's kind of godlike, and there's this whole, and people have to be part of that.
It's a
whether
mess.
That's, you get them commercials, there's the bracelets they're making, yeah. You know, and we could kind of siphon off into another direction of, well, what's kind of behind that, and are there agendas being pushed, whether she knows or not, through it? That's a different story. But overall, I think people crave to be part of something. And they can tell their friends, and it's on social media, and I was part of this. And it's,
hey,
a place
I
to
got
be.
This.
Mm-hmm. So, and I think that's where it's becoming. And you know, they want to be part of the big thing.
It is a huge thing. But is it big enough on that scale?
I would suggest that the, you know, how did the Grateful Dead, Tori, not save us from stagflation?
He's right. He's right.
You're right.
What I would say is this, that
the
pharmaceutical like
sales
any,
alone.
Like any other major...
That's black market, Ronnie.
...event, right? Like, so you see cities compete for things like conventions, the RNC, the this. And what do they always tell us? Oh, we got the NCAA tournament in Cleveland, the Sweet 16, because it's going to pump all this money in the economy.
Yeah.
I think that's what it does in a large way, her shows, in a local economy within a region.
Okay.
I think the money
being spent by these kids on her and her accessories and music and everything about it is entertainment dollars that would probably just be spent in another way.
Okay.
So I don't know that it's a force multiplier.
Okay.
What I would suggest is your town gets a Taylor Swift concert, you're going to see some local revenue enhancement, some boost going on there from that.
Town gets money.
Ability to prop up the largest economy in the world? No. What we've seen with the economy not cratering out, in my opinion, is really a function of two things. One, folks' willingness to dive further into debt on credit to continue to spend, even though their income sides are being squeezed along with the cost sides with inflation. They're not slowing down or making hard choices yet because they still have bandwidth in their credit availability. So that is helping to prop up consumer spending, the biggest segment.
Impulse buying.
Combine that with the fact that today we have, it's sort of the argument against the gold standard. Do you base your currency on the value of the amount of a metal you can dig up and out of the ground and put in a warehouse, or do you value your currency on the overall elements of what your entire economy does in terms of all its production? And so I think what we're seeing and why we didn't crater yet is the diversity and largeness of the U.S. economy is so large, it's so complex, it's in so many areas, it's harder to take down, you know, it's harder to take down the behemoth that has strengths all over the place. When you're a smaller nation that, like, hey, our entire economy is based on oil, they're up and they're down. Right. Hey, ours is based on minerals and timber, they're up and they're down. Or ours are only based on semiconductors, you know, they're up and they're down. But the U.S. economy is so large and so diverse that it really is hard to take the whole, you know, for it to, I think at this point, to come crashing down. That doesn't mean it won't. It won't, I mean, it will enter recession again at some point. There are a lot of other factors out there in terms of, population shifts, changes. There's a lot of things that are out there that are going to affect us. But it's a size of an economy and a complexity that we've never seen in human history.
All right, follow-up question. Is Taylor then at least symbolic of the consumer spending?
Oh, we were talking about Taylor?
Yeah. So
I want Taylor to know that the fact that she has dominated the FDH lounge conversation I blame you.
I mean,
2024 and F2.
Should be a real testament to how massive she actually is.
Chris just attributed the entire U.S. economy to Taylor.
He literally just did.
I was asking, I've seen people saying that. I had to ask him because people say a lot of dumb things, but I've seen people making that case, and she's at least symbolic, it seems like. Again, how many people are going into debt to gorge themselves on hundreds of dollars for tickets and the full Tay Tay concert experience?
And let me ask you this. Let's say in 2028 she decides she wants to be president. Who's stopping her?
She truly will be.
With the Taylor Swift and the concert price tickets, I agree. I agree that there is no more record sales. There is no more CD sales because everybody's downloading it.
You're right.
And that's what it is. So the concert tickets have to go up because they got to make their money somehow.
So a good friend of ours, Tony Mazur,
was
at a concert. And they said, please download our album. We'll make a nickel.
Right.
It's so all in downloads. These bands aren't making what they used to make.
So with Taylor Swift
being
being who she is, yes, she's an amazing singer. Yes, she's actually gorgeous. And there's a guy from, isn't he from Cleveland?
Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
Kelce from Cleveland.
You can say.
And lucky for him, but it's one of them things that
Matt's just awakening.
Yeah.
You just gotta realize that, hey, okay, still new music comes out. Somebody needs to play it. And yes, concert tickets prices are rising because of we're all downloading it for free.
Yeah, they're not making much money. And by the way, I kept waiting for Travis Kelce on his bye week. This would have been the kind of stunt he would do. Take her to a Cleveland Heights football game just for the media circus.
Right.
I'm mildly disappointed that didn't happen.
Ricky was sitting in Cleveland Heights.
High school football's done.
Yeah.
Ricky was sitting in the Cleveland Heights Stadium. Where's Travis?
Pockets full of poorly constructed bracelets.
Yes. Now, if you would have saw her and they would have walked up, well, what have you jumped on?
By the way, too, so
you would have been tackled by security.
So much of this is on, and again, I have good friends that are among the Swifties here. So I'm sure
apparently you
this.
Are.
I'm sure they're going to take this the wrong way, but I'm going to say this anyways. It's really based on the continuing hoodwinking of all her fans since about like the mid-2000s. And here's what I mean by that. And I'm going to cite a mutual friend of Chris's and mine, our good friend Scott Pullins. I remember one time, I think it was on Facebook, where he was just like, hey, this is maybe in the mid to 2010s, maybe, Taylor Swift is actually pretty attractive, you know? I'm like, dude, were you buying the whole underdog
thing?
You know, I'm just the misfit girl that nobody likes. You know, she's doing that kind of thing to appeal to all of her fans out there. Oh, I'm just somebody, I'm an average girl just like you. And I was like, bro.
Well, she could be, but she's a billionaire.
But is not.
No.
So, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, again.
I request to embargo.
That's fine. That's fine. I'm
going to walk out that door.
Chris is done.
She's the embodiment of entertainment in 23 and 24, though. That's the thing. Yes, that's fine. We'll get off of that subject. Anything else here? Anything with the AI implications here? You got Grimes.
You know, that is one thing that gets me.
What?
You can take any artist.
Yep.
Their voice. Their looks.
Yep.
Make a music video. Make music. Whatever. Yeah. It's not them. And it's not them.
It's all AI. It's all AI.
I don't think young people care. My nephews, they love Fortnite. You're taking on skins. You're taking on other personas. That's where we're headed. And I don't think they care. You could ask them, well, would you rather be at the con? Does it matter if it's a real life person there? It's still the experience.
Right.
They don't. They
don't.
And that's the crazy part.
And there's a great movie called Ready Player One, which I don't know if we'll ever get there, but you've got these shipping container cities, and it's set in Columbus, and all people do is play the game. And they buy parts, they buy things. The guy runs on the treadmill. He's running in real life, yet he's running in the game. I mean, we have these Oculus glasses. We're headed for this, and the kids, they don't care if it is like...
Real.
That's why I think the Avatar.
They don't care if it's real.
That's coming.
Well, that's coming. I started with that because I think that ties into the AI concept, right? I mean, what Kiss has said about these goofy avatars is like, well, the technology's advancing. They're going to get better. This is just the beginning.
No, see, when he said...
And they're going to obviously try to tie it into AI.
Right.
And they're going to obviously... And kids, to your point, and this was kind of my question, what do concert goers in the future want? Your point is they don't care if it's the real people.
Right, and that's okay if that's their aesthetic experience. I remember being at shows, and you're in the pit jumping around, whatever it is. If that's their aesthetic experience, and it's entertainment to them, I'm not judging it. I'm just saying I don't think they... I think they see things
differently. I'd rather the real members.
So that's not even just concert goers. With AI, can you do a James Caan movie?
Yeah.
Without James Caan's gone.
Yeah.
Can you do
it? You have enough on tape of his voice.
Right.
You have enough that they can pull from.
They can make a new Michael Jackson song just from his voice.
Sure.
Just
last year you had the Beatles release a new track that was off of an old John Lennon.
Okay, that might be different because that might have been...
That wasn't AI.
It wasn't AI. That was an actual track.
You had
McCartney
and Starr rework it and work on the song. And then put everything around it and release it as a single. We had a new Beatles single released in 2023.
But that's different than AI, because you're doing AI.
It doesn't take much.
They're probably using AI tools to make it better. You're right that
it's not falsifying.
Yeah. Falsifying would be all these versions of Apple Bottom jeans that are out there right now. Johnny Cash
There's new Browns songs going out.
We've had falsifying for years. Britney Spears can't sing.
No.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
It's all through the digital manipulation. What do they call that?
Exactly.
Auto-tune.
Yeah.
We've already had manipulation and fake and, you know.
Anybody. I can go sing.
What you're really doing is calling for a Milli Vanilli reunion tour.
That's what there you go. That's
yes.
Awesome. I want to see
that.
That's
gonna be all of us.
I want to see that.
Or the Archies, Ron, Johnny, Chris, Ricky, you're out.
Maybe the Archies are the band's really a cartoon.
Yeah.
Something to that effect.
Yeah.
Well, I think it opens up the AI question to Johnny's point. Is it opens up this whole new avenue with this generation of what they accept as legitimate, not us.
Right.
We don't,
but
they will.
We are older,
and that's authentic to them, and that's their experience. I mean, I can't tell you teaching. I mean, everything's about the phone.
Exactly,
it's all on the phone.
Yeah,
and
that's
and,
what I was gonna say. You know, everything's about for the kids these days.
You know,
if you can't do it on your phone, you don't do it.
Well, and
my nephew's daughter has to have a phone to go to school.
Right. Well,
Because it is what it is. They have to do things on their phone. And Johnny, I don't know if you know that.
We don't. They don't have to have a phone for it. They all have them. I don't make it an issue. I ask politely for them to just put it on my desk if it's during, or I give them polite warnings. I rarely get pushback. They know. I want anybody handling my device. I don't try to handle their device.
At one point in time, my niece
understand that you can't have competition. They have to be focused on it.
Right. Correct.
At one point in time, my niece and nephew were issued school.
Yeah.
Computers.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And a lot of
they were issued.
Yeah.
They're probably like the crappiest versions possible. Right. You know, it's like dorm room furniture. Right. You know.
But it's still expensive enough that if you lose it, you're screwed.
Well, that's true. Yeah, it's the worst of both worlds. You know, you have to hack off a body part to pay for replacing it, but it's not as good as the other stuff that's out there.
Right.
If you don't.
But they have to have it.
Gotta have it. Well, again, gadgets, this has all been, you know, moving towards this for years. Again, it continues to, as, you know, streaming continues to get to be a bigger thing in entertainment and continues to get to be more and more dominant, even as the entities themselves are having trouble making money off of it. ESPN's been pushing the streaming end, Disney for years. They've had trouble monetizing it. I think NBC Universal has been the most consistent as far as trying to push Peacock, but I don't know if they're even necessarily getting the returns on it that they're looking for.
Well, I'm going to tell you my guess on where all this is going.
Where?
Because you brought up
streaming. Toledo!
You brought up streaming and everything else. It's a lot like, remember in the beginning when we suddenly had all the YouTube shows?
Yeah.
And we had Twitter. And, you know, they all first kind of came out. What did we all suddenly get? We were introduced to new people that were creators.
Yeah.
Right? YouTube shows. I mean, we got Justin Bieber because of YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right? We got new things because of it. I believe that that the challenge for these studios and whatnot, they're going to be the next ones in the next decade under threat, because here's the deal. With enough computing power and enough advancement in AI, okay, there is nothing that's stopping Rick Morris and Chris Galloway
from being
turning that script
Bobby Boucher
into an actual movie.
Okay.
With actors that look good without a studio.
Yeah.
We can write script from sitting here in Middleburg Heights, put out a show, put it on a streaming service of our own device.
If you got the technology, YouTube,
and now people are hooked on our show, and the AI and the technology of what it looks like, and it gets realer and realer. The ability for AI to assist in the creation, the development of the graphics,
but
that
the affordability,
see, it describes. No, you have apps now that you can say,
it's
"Give me a brown-haired, blue-eyed girl in front of a valley scene," and you get a photo that looks really like a real person.
Yeah, but
that person doesn't
exist. You
got
to buy the equipment to.
No.
Well, it's not a big investment, and my point is that now you have the ability with that Rick and Chris can create characters through AI in the computer.
So I want to see you look like Taylor.
Give the script, literally give the script to AI and say, go make the movie, make the show.
You look
and
like Taylor.
We're not talking about
that. We can start pumping out content.
He is.
That's true.
And thousands and thousands of other people can. So all those shows we love on Amazon and Netflix and Apple TV, there's no studio needed.
No.
Well, I can
not.
Put it out there if you want to watch this show, and people can gobbling it up.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is the next phase of this stuff, broken down even more to the local level or the individual, not needing those studios. Right. So
the numbers prove that people are ready to consume this. They've been consuming it for decades.
Right.
They're going to continue to consume it. They're thirsting for it. I would say my overarching fear is, you know, we're getting dangerously close to reality and fantasy, and then it's clouded and there's a bunch of crossover. I think it's long gone at this point, but the distraction from these things is overtaken many people. And I would fear that I still think we're engineered and built from an evolutionary standpoint to have face-to-face communication. There's the human condition, but this is certainly, I mean, on the forefront. It's here where people are all about technology and really enhancement. It should enhance, hopefully, your life, all this technology. without completely distracting your life.
Yeah, but where does it end?
Well, because ultimately, who knows? It depends on who takes over the technology. We could all find ourselves in some type of captivity and not even care.
Right.
Who knows?
That's the thing, Johnny, and you and I have talked about this off air, and, you know, take this anywhere you want to take this as far as your concerns about this, but as far as this whole thing of that AI in some cases is promising, like, hey, we can regenerate the thing of anybody from your past that's not around anymore. Like, I know that's something where you express some distaste for.
I mean, you know, I would say that ultimately that's going to come down to your own personal beliefs and personal individual. What your thoughts are with why we're here and your sense of purpose and what's beyond.
That's going to Fantasy Island.
Well, it's not real.
So it's like, okay, my thought with the AI is okay. Remember the movie WALL-E?
Yeah.
The cartoon movie.
Okay.
Okay, they're on a spaceship.
Okay.
And everything's, if we get to the point where AI does everything for us, mm-hmm. are we going to be like that?
Yes.
Are we going to be sitting there in that lounge chair in that movie? Are we going to be?
Well, we'll be dead.
Well, maybe not.
The way it's evolving, I'm not so sure. And that's a thing where, like, as we're talking about all these far-flung kind of things.
Do we want that?
I think it'll be much more grim. I think you'll be in a state of, it'll be a state of captivity. Hopefully, we'll be long gone. There will be people, just human nature. There will be takers that are going to take resources and then others that are going to be in some type of captivity, whether they know it or not, call it the Matrix.
Everybody's already
Soylent Green. That would be not a grim reminder, but you're going to have people will have resources, meat, vegetables, these things, and others. They're already eating processed food. They're
everybody's already in some kind of captivity anyway.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter if we're here or not. They're already in captivity. They do what they want. You do what you want. I do what I want.
That is equal parts deep and disturbing,
I wouldn't call that captivity. You've got free will.
Yeah, you do.
But right,
you are.
Yeah.
You're in captivity of what you
want
to
do.
But
do we have free will?
Well, I mean, that's free will to do what I want. I'm talking about, like, where you can't, whether you know it or not, you cannot do things. And that's why I think it comes down to that's another conversation of personal freedom.
That's the problem. We're not going to get deep into this, but that's the problem. Do we have free will? You can do what you want, but a certain thing, a certain limit.
I did not have on my 2020.
I guess that's just an outlook.
The Patron's taking our segment deep in an existential direction. I did not see that one coming.
We'll stop. I mean, there is things that can be.
You guys are bringing to this. No, that's an interesting thing. Let me bring this all the way around here for this segment. So, like, if we're sitting here, if the segment that we do at this time next year is of a similar nature, and we're looking back at 2024.
Don't ask me to come back.
How much of these things are going to manifest in the next 12 months? Is it going to be more baby steps along these lines or something like the kind of project that Chris was talking about before? Might we see the first of these in 2024 potentially?
Well, I think that these things are, they're baby steps that are accelerating.
Yes.
Right? I mean, and then because of our ability to process them, they seem like giant leaps.
Okay.
You know, it's just the baby's walking at 1 mile an hour, and, you know, by the end of the year, the baby's walking at 12,000 miles an hour. There's still baby steps.
Yeah.
It's still just happening faster and faster and faster.
Yeah, that's true.
That isn't going to change. Yeah. Make no mistake. That has been the case. I mean, you only have to look in the last 100 years. It's only accelerating and getting faster.
Time does move on. Time does change.
The change in the rapidity of technology and how, you know, you look at the entire course of human history and up to, say, 1823, and then you look at the last 200 years, what's occurred since then, it's faster and faster. And you could say even faster between 1823 and 1923 and 1923 and 2023.
Yeah.
You've had even more. You know, acceleration in technology. I mean, look, there's a reason why in the 1990s they had the theorists publicized the whole concept that we would reach the singularity around 2048. Boy, it looks like he's gonna be pretty damn close.
Yeah.
And I'll say this in the Terminator in 1984 when they're speaking of like when this is coming. It was 40 years. About 40 years. Well, we're 2024.
Right. We are. That's true. He's not 40 years out from that. Yeah. And that's a thing where... So the last question that
and Rick still doesn't have his jetpack.
Of course not. Which science has failed us. Science,
but you would be stressed, jetpack driver. Come on, you'd be like, there's a bird flying by. It got in my way.
Can't do it.
Wait, what? Ricky has to leave his apartment.
Condo.
He planted himself into the very first 200-foot
tree. Absolutely. Yeah. Don't put that wire there.
That high tension wires would be a real menace for me. But so the last question I have on any of this is. There was a thing late in the year here. It was right around Thanksgiving, and it kind of got swallowed up in the Thanksgiving news cycle. But what's the guy's name? I think Sam Altman from OpenAI, who got fired briefly and then came back because evidently there was real concerns that some of the stuff that's happening now is that we are on the verge of the AGI, of basically where the sort of AI can go into business for itself. Mm-hmm. I had seen an example earlier this year, and I showed it to a few people. I think I sent it to Chris, and he was like, oh, crap. It was like where, you know those CAPTCHA things you got to do, like, prove you're a human. Mm-hmm. So there was a robot that went to go kind of take that, and the robot was given the challenge of, like, find a way to not have to do this. And so the robot, you know, was like petitioning the site administrator on it of like, I have, you know, I can't get through this, whatever. And then the site administrator was like, are you somebody that has poor eyesight? And the robot just immediately reacts and goes, why, yes, I do. Oh, okay, then you don't have to. So that was an example of the robot thinking for itself.
That
was Ricky. It wasn't the robot, it was Ricky.
Yeah.
Like I said, Wall-E, that movie, that cartoon movie. Robot started thinking for itself.
Right. But, like, what do you guys make of this, that whole hubbub, apparently, with Altman and the tech executives there, and the whole thing of, like, that we may be at a danger point? Because I know that, again, science fiction and everything has beaten us into the ground in a very scary kind of way over the last couple of decades. And, again, AI's never been my fear as much as the robots are going to kill us all, more so like the robots are going to take all our jobs and the robots are going to make life worse potentially in other ways.
What is AI? Well, those things don't happen without AI.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, though, my fear has been less that, like, they're going to machine gun all of us or set off nukes. But
they could.
The bad effects would be another. It could be. But, like, that's never been my area of fear. But, like, as far as, like, robots threatening humanity... What do you guys make of this, the fact that some of these tech executives apparently got a little spooked by that?
I think that, they've been talking about it a long time, and I think that it's really...
There's a movie out.
It's a really...
Multiple
movies. There is a number of different ways that AI and these technological advances can go. I mean, the same way there's, raising a child, there's many ways that child could raise and be developed. Can turn into Jeffrey Dahmer, or they could turn into, or they could turn into Rick, or they can turn into someone who writes the next great symphony.
Bach.
You're raising that child, and things can happen, right? So there is risk. There really is risk. And I think that those fears are not unfounded, and they are worth trying to figure out how to minimize those risks. I think, is it more likely that AI and robotic technology and those types of things, as they advance, becomes more of a thing that is used to aid and supplant humans and to comfort the remaining humans moving forward through time? I use the example in some of our futurist ones about, in the future, your fire brigade is going to be two humans and six robots, mm-hmm. right? Carrying the water and carrying the hoses and going into the fire and driving the truck. We're not far from that. I even once, remember I even said, I suspect we won't go to nursing homes. We'll end up with our own personal robot in our home, helping us with our meals, talking to us, helping us make sure we get our medicine and get to our physician's appointment on time. We're so close to that, to the advancement in robotics.
But is that good?
It's not if it's good or bad. It's that's a tool that we're potentially creating. It changes, right? You don't have to end up in a nursing home where you're either neglected or whatnot or struggling, but maybe you can remain in your home. Maybe this robot makes sure that you take your pills, makes sure you go and get exercise. But we don't, that's kind of I view that as like the big sweet, 65% middle ground on what can happen with AI and technology. That we as humans adopt it and use it as a supplement to our shrinking human population on this planet, and robots and AI and artificial intelligence become more important, and humans have to work less. I mean, let's be honest. That is the potential ultimate, where humans are really a life of leisure more than anything.
Mm-hmm. But how do we have the money to afford anything?
That's where the system that you've come to understand in terms of capitalism in the last couple hundred years probably doesn't work within that framework.
Right.
So it's either something like that, or AI takes a horrible turn, kills us all, or there's also the possibility that, like, you know, eventually AI and these things get so advanced that it's not interested in killing us. It's interested in just sort of nurturing us, like goldfish, you know?
That could be.
Animals in a zoo.
I like your thinking, and I always, of course, take the positive take. I like that as service. I did see something disturbing. They're already coming up with these, and I don't know if this is related to AI more as future. They've got these really death capsules. People go in, and you can go in and you can hit the button, and it'll flood it with nitrogen, and you peacefully just go off.
Mm-hmm. That's advanced Dr. Kevorkian.
Yeah, exactly.
Canada's doing that for poor people. Well, like, oh, you can't pay your bills anymore, maybe you should die.
Do you know what the irony is? I think if AI kills us, I think it attempts to kill us because of us. Has access to all these conversations. As soon as Rick puts it on the internet,
it'll
have access to us wondering if we should kill AI. And there is the real probability that AI deems us a risk by our own hypothetical conversations concerns about what AI might do to us. AI might say, hey, I've got to kill humans because they want to kill me. And I have all the evidence. My algorithms are showing me that they are really considering.
Okay,
I'm responsible for the end of humanity. I did have on my 21st century bingo card.
I do have a comment on it, and I have a question that comes back to, and give me a second and I'll wrap it around.
Okay.
Okay. Do you believe in ghosts?
No.
No? Okay. So AI is, if ghosts were around, mm-hmm. ghosts, if you don't believe or do believe and they're going to hurt you, they would have already.
Yeah.
AI, if it's going to hurt you, it would have already.
I disagree.
It's in the early stages, man.
But it is in the early stages. I agree.
0.001% of but what it's ghost be.
AI right now.
People believing, people believing in ghosts, and can they hurt? I mean, AI can and cannot hurt you. It'll be different.
As far as where AI is at this point in time, AI is basically
gonna be different.
3 seconds after you climb off on top, that's basically where AI is right now. The egg is only beginning to be fertilized as we speak right now. So where it goes, how it continues to move through the year 2024, I'm sure that, again, if we're doing a similar type segment here at this time next year for the anniversary, I'm sure it will be very common in what we're talking about as well. Hopefully not Taylor Swift. Hopefully the year can progress through without having to devote any kind of time.
No, we'll be talking about her wedding.
We'll be talking about Travis Swift.
No, we're going to be talking about our shock that AI killed Taylor Swift.
Travis Swift.
Its first strike on humanity was to kill our leader.
And they say that AI is going to be bad for humanity.
Or President Swift, whatever.
You just presented evidence to the contrary.
I think this conversation shows the question marks.
Yeah,
all a lot of question marks.
Yeah,
and how one can truly be certain where this careening car down the road is going.
Nobody can know. That is true. But again, very proud of being able to have a panel like this to be able to move through and discuss this. Thanks very much, guys. We're going to do our next segment on sports moving from 2023 into 2024. Thank you for joining us for this mini episode of the FDH Lounge.